Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, you can call us on 434-1790. You can WhatsApp me on 266-IVOB. We're here with you. It's now 1243. We're here with you until 1:30. We're having all kinds of interesting conversations. You know, my mother's always said, Peter, it's a bad idea to talk to people about politics or religion. And guess what I love to talk about most? Politics and religion. But at least the program never gets boring. I have a response from a good friend of mine who shall remain nameless for obvious reasons. He is an economist, and he is saying, Peter, well done in terms of your response. The causes of these actions did not occur within the last 100 days. Furthermore, this government ought to be commended for working with the IMF agreement to get a program up and running in such quick time. This is commendable. You need to blame poor policies that were not linked to any meaningful strategic objectives, resulting in poor export growth performance. Blame opaque procurement practices that probably resulted in greater expenditure than was necessary. You can blame a lack of focus on key infrastructure upgrades, so the admin buildings and expensive tanks trumped roads and ports. Admin buildings that probably provided opportunities for graft and corruption. Fill in the Straker's tenantry and all of the DLP supporters on this and that, sir. I'm happy so to do. So, Mrs. Straker's tenantry, responding to your question about layoffs that were supposed to happen around 2003, I'm happy to not inquire into those eras. Certainly, we've had several elections since then, and I believe the doings and misdoings of the Arthur administration were well responded to in terms of the election that we had in 1999 and we had the one that we had in 2003. Both of which the Democratic Barbados Labour Party won, and won convincingly. So I think that judgment has already been passed on that era, and I believe that judgment has also been passed on the last 10 years. And I think that we will now see a series of programs, and we will have the opportunity to pass judgment on those in 5 years' time. And until then, we just wait. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good afternoon,
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to preface this by saying I'm neither D nor B, and I'm well aware of the plight of the economy under the DLP administration. But I am one that would have attended all of the political meetings and listened to the rhetoric. You know, we are burdened by taxes, and the D's did this, the D's did that. And then you get our vote, and now what? Separation. We're still burdened, and it burdened even more so with an onslaught of taxes. And as it pertains to this bond, I just left the central bank with a relative whose bonds were to mature at the end of this month. And this relative is a pensioner, an old man pensioner. And is being told you cannot take your hard-earned money out. It has to remain where it is. And we're not talking about $100. It has to remain where it is, and it has to stay for 15 years. Now, these things aren't right. And I'm saying that I think I could be a minister of finance, because all they had to sit down and do is say, oh, we're going to tax this, we'll invent this new tax. Where are the strategies? All you have done, you have brought more burden on the Barbadian public. And that ad just now, the economist stating, oh, in 3 years' time, we're going to see this growth and this and the next thing. But let us deal with the present. Let us deal with the families that barely could make that water bill. And now they have to look for an additional $45 to $50. That online tax, where perhaps you, and they're calling it an online tax, and yet wherever you use your credit card, whether it be, you know, online or in a brick and mortar overseas, you will be taxed at 20%. And I'm saying 20% because it's 17.5% plus the 2% that was there presently. So you spend $1,000, you're trying to purchase things overseas to ease yourself, to buy clothes for your children because, you know, it was a little cheaper doing so. You spend $1,000, the government is getting $200. What are they doing? What is, and then we're throwing around this, oh, it's a burden we have to bear, it's a sacrifice. Those are light words. Make it light of the situation. Make it light. These are real people's lives, and I just want to know, what is the government really doing? We're paying all of these advisors hundreds of thousands of dollars, or how much ever they're paying, I'm just guessing, and basically just coming up with taxes. Where's the strategy in that?
You got the impression when you voted in the last election that you voted for less taxes and for more money in your pocket and et cetera, et cetera?
I just know I went to the meetings and they were talking about how we are burdened by these taxes, and I just find it ironic you're talking about how we were burdened by these taxes.
Okay, I heard you. I heard you the first time, ma'am. When did you hear anything else at the meeting? Did you get the impression when you went to those meetings that we had a debt problem? in Barbados, where we were about the third most indebted country in the world?
Of course.
Right. You're familiar with Greece?
Yes, I am.
You're familiar with Argentina?
But I'm not an economist. So
No. I'm just asking questions. If you're familiar with the most indebted countries in the world, and you are also aware of the fact that the Greek economy collapsed, the Argentinian economy collapsed, and economic collapse is a very serious thing. And generally speaking, one of the ways that economies can collapse is if they are highly indebted. Now, against that background and against the fact that you said you're familiar with Greece and the problems in Greece, you're familiar with the fact that Barbados is one of the third most indebted countries in the world. Do you believe that it would be wise for our government to take evasive action or outline a program that will get us out of this situation, or alternatively continue with business as usual?
Well, we can't continue business as usual, but I'm just saying we're praising this government for all.
No, but I'm asking, we're talking about no government. I'm talking about praising. I'm asking you a simple question. Because I'm saying if you accept that we do not want to become Greece, and you accept that we are shades away from becoming Greece because we had a debt profile that was not very different to that of Greece, we don't have the EU to bail us out in the way that Greece does. So you have a program which is being put on the table that says, you have a level of indebtedness that is unsustainable. You cannot pay your bills. So what do you do? Either you seek to renegotiate your debt, or alternatively, you end up like Greece. What's the choice that you would prefer?
Well, we had to do what we had to do, but it doesn't change the fact that many persons would have voted in this government.
But ma'am, we're talking about voting. You just said you need a B or a D, so let me left out the voting. We're talking about the fact that we are where we are now, and we have to make a decision as a country going forward. So I'm saying to you, what are you more comfortable with? Are you more comfortable with the type of sacrifice that comes from what we call in economic terms a haircut? Or alternatively, are we happy with allowing us to get to a situation like Greece where the economy just collapses altogether?
Okay, my question is, with all of these brilliant minds back in this present government, this is the only avenue they could drum up?
I think it's because of, it is because of the brilliant...
That's all they could come up with?
Ma'am, it is because of the brilliant minds that you have an IMF agreement in less than 100 days. That's what the brilliant minds have done. We've gotten to an IMF agreement in far shorter period of time than anybody else in the region has, to the best of my knowledge. I've never heard of anyone coming up with an agreement in 3 months. We have one in 90 days. So that's where the brilliance is coming in. I think the brilliance is going to come in terms of us being able to successfully renegotiate the debt over a period of time. That's where the brilliance is coming in.
Yes,
right?
At the cost of, you know, an everyday Barbadian, the average Barbadian who has had to tighten their belt even more. And all we're hearing is these measures coming into play. Yes, we're doing this, we're doing that. And yet we are the ones bearing the consequences.
But ma'am, I'm asking, so who would you like to bear the consequences?
I would just like them to come up with better strategies.
But like what? Okay, give me an example. Ma'am, give me an example of the kind of strategy that would make you happy.
I have no financial sense. I don't know.
All right.
I am not one of these that would have studied, you know, economy.
Let's take it. Me neither. Let's take it from a different angle then. You said you took a relative to the central bank to a meeting, and that person has had their maturity deferred for 15 years, as you said?
15
right.
years.
What
yes.
kind of money?
I say that's for the average.
What kind of money are we talking about that they had invested?
I don't know, but to me that is irrelevant, because whatever you've invested,
it's not irrelevant at all, ma'am. It's very relevant.
It is, but whether it is $500, $5, $5,000, it is your money that you invested.
Agreed.
That you expected to, you know, you expected to go.
Does this person have a non-contributory or a contributory pension?
I am not sure. I honestly
But you said they're retired, so they must have a pension.
Well, then you're answering your own question. I
No,
I
but then, but ma'am, are you playing games with me? I'm asking a straightforward question.
I'm not playing any games. I said I don't know.
But you said the person is retired.
But I don't know what they receive and what they don't. Mm-hmm. But if you know, you can tell me also that when you retire, you receive this. I'm not a pensionable age. I really don't know about these things.
No, but because you were very specific in saying that the individual was relying on the money to come from that to take care of themselves.
No, I didn't say to take care of themselves. Oh,
okay.
I just said they were relying on that.
They're relying on it. Okay.
It had matured this month. Well, and now the government of Barbados, you know, you would have invested where you thought would have been a safe investment with the central bank.
But the investment's safe. It's just that you're going to get it now, you'll get it later.
later when the bodies must be about 100. That is right. That you
did I not say earlier in the conversation? I mean, you must have been listening. That I do believe that there's a conversation that we need to have about facilities to provide for an early release of funds to people who are of advanced age. Right, I said that.
It is true.
Because
is
I acknowledge as much as the gavel will fall, maybe there are some things that we need to consider. I spoke about the reverse mortgage option, and I also spoke about similar facilities that may very well be able to unlock money, because ultimately the person's money is still there. It isn't that they can't get it. It's just that they're being asked to take it later. They're being asked to roll it over.
But that is a good point you're making, because there's a difference between someone who's being given this information that is 30 years of age versus someone that is 70.
So why then is that not the focus of the conversation? Because I've gotten this very acidic reaction from both yourself and the earlier caller. That's basically coming to say, you know, that this is an evil and wicked government that is doing this to people. What I'm saying that if you're going to come to me with that argument, you could as well don't waste your time. Because I can't see what this government could have done in 100 days that would have made them so evil and wicked when they're trying to fix a problem that has been there for the last 10 years.
So I'm saying
that if you're going to come and talk about evil and wickedness, you got to talk about the fact that you have individuals who presided over this nonsense for the last 10 years and said nothing. You have to talk about the fact that you had an individual who was telling us about the size of a debt that was changing almost daily, where you didn't know exactly what the size of the debt was. And ultimately, we had published figures that did not include debt to University of West Indies, did not include debt to National Insurance, did not include debt to all kinds of different people. The parastatals debt was not included. So we really had no idea how heavily indebted we were. We now know that. So the point of the matter is that it don't make no sense coming to me to argue about evil or wickedness. Let's have a conversation about clear cases of hardship that need to be dealt with. And the one with the aged pensioners is a reasonable one. And as I said, it's the same argument that you will use regarding the reverse mortgages, because there are people who have substantial assets tied up in houses that need to unlock that money. There are people who have substantial amounts tied up, like your grandmother, in terms of government bonds that may need to unlock it sooner. And I have no difficulty engaging in a conversation with you with suggestions about how we can get those problems dealt with. But when you come to me with this broadside, starting telling me that you ain't political, and then you on a political line for the better part of the conversation. As I said, we ain't going nowhere with that. Or your grandmother, in terms of government bonds, that may need to unlock it sooner. And I have no difficulty engaging in a conversation with you with suggestions about how we can get those problems dealt with. But when you come to me with this broadside, starting telling me that you ain't political, and then you on a political line for the better part of the conversation. As I said, we ain't going nowhere with that.
Because I'm so driven by what is coming on happening in the country.
Because you're driven by it because you feel you want to make a political argument and you die washing with me.
Because
if we can make a political argument, we have to talk about it.
You are.
I sing it because I have never seen a country negotiate an IMF agreement in 90 days. I have never seen a country brought back from the brink so rapidly, and for that, I am grateful. So I am singing. I sing it like a bird.
Would you care to join me in the chorus? No, I'm not right now.
Right.
Because I know y'all.
I don't know what David is saying. I don't know what Dennis is saying. Talk about Peter.
The persons that are supporting, you know, what is taking place and talking about the whitewash that people like to reference. You think there's going to be a whitewash in 4 to 5 years
You see how your political slip showing? Because you tell me you're not being political, but clearly you're speaking in 5-year terms.
Listen, I voted for every government. I voted for both governments. Well, so I'm telling you.
But you're no different to me.
I am.
You're no different to me, right? You see, ma'am, I'm saying we can get away from all of this by having conversations about the meaningful issues, like the one I was talking about with the old age pensioners.
All right,
but when we start to muddy the waters with talking with politics, then I would get political too. And I'm saying that we can't have a political conversation if we don't talk about both sides, right?
Let's
stick to a constructive conversation about concerns that we have about people who are senior citizens that are being deprived of access to their money for 10 and 15 years. I think to say that to someone who is 70 is harsh. To say it to someone who is 80 is unconscionable. Because we don't know that they have 10 years remaining.
The other point
that I've been trying to drive home is that I don't think that people who are in this situation should come to the public with this argument that they are poor and they cannot take care of themselves. If you have $150,000 in a government instrument somewhere and you are on a pension, clearly you are not poor. One of the persons who spoke to me earlier today, I worked out that that person is living off the proceeds of $800 a month, which is impossible. So the person has to be getting supplementary income from somewhere. So I appreciate that you're concerned about the money you're losing. But ultimately, if you are on a pension, if you are receiving resources from somewhere else, it is unfair to come to the public and say that you are poor and you're destitute, because you're not. Nobody who has $150,000 in government instruments sitting down anywhere is poor.
But it's your $150,000 that you
It is your money. Of course. Hey, you hear me saying differently? You hear me saying differently?
So I am saying
to you, if that is the case, we agree. But you are not destitute, because you are worth $150,000. So you're not destitute. Agreed? Ma'am? You agree
true.
Or you disagree. A person who is worth that money is destitute?
That may be true. However, whether it is $1 million, $10,000,
or $100,000,
it is yours and you should have access.
I ain't disagreeing with it. But the point of the matter is that if you had taken your money and you put it in Clico, if you had taken your money and you had invested it on Wall Street, if you had taken your money and you had put it in trade confirmers like people did back in the 1990s, you won't got it no neither. And the point I'm making is that when you invest your money, there's always a risk. I agree that government investment is supposed to be the most secure of all of them. But I'm saying we are having this argument now when we could have had the argument when it was trade confirmers. We could have had the argument when it's Clico. You make an investment, there is a risk involved. And what you are being told now is that we are deferring the speed with which you would get back your money. But there was a time when people had conversations about trade confirmers and they said they take their whole life savings and they put in trade confirmers and they didn't get back nothing to this very day. I'm sorry that you hung up, ma'am, because I would have loved to have engaged you some more. I have an email here from a gentleman who does not want to be identified, but he usually has some very good contributions on this issue. And he's saying, Peter, it's not relevant how large a person's investment is. What is important is the extent of loss of income. If a husband and wife over the last 25 years systematically invested $1 million in bonds and earned $60,000 a year to finance their retirement, they would now have to live off $10,000 per year or $833 per month. How do they do it? You can argue to the cows come home about this. Whether they are millionaires or not, the reality is they cannot live off their income. You can't access the millions. So arguments about capital wealth versus capital flow are distortions. I hear you on reverse mortgage, and I'm a strong supporter for the reasons you stated, but that's a different discussion. Since government did not tie that to the debt restructuring, and the banking sector is against reverse mortgages, so that aspect of the debate is purely theoretical. Pensioners are an extremely small part of bondholders' government. Could have been easier on them while having little impact on government's debt reduction plan. The institution who holds in excess of $90,000 in bonds can always absorb and pass on to customers, as the banks have already indicated, and they will end up with the imbalance of corporate sector carrying any other burden, as they have passed it off onto their customers, and pensioners on reduced incomes carrying 80 to 87% cuts on income. That is the issue. So what you're saying, and I'm sorry that you have told me not to hold your name, because I think that your name would help to advance the argument more, is you're basically saying that the type of concessions that I've been speaking about and discussing with the lady just now could be possible in the scheme of things, because you're saying that the pensioners are a small part of government's bondholders, and perhaps government could have been easier on them. Is it not possible, sir, that going forward, in terms of the way in which this offer is refined, that government may very well make special concessions to these persons for reasons that you have stated? And I agree with you. So I accept your point that the argument about living off of the money is a distortion. It is well taken. I know you are a person who is not arbitrary in the way that you speak to numbers, and you are not being political. So I accept that it is a distortion for me to go down that road. I also accept that it is money lost. And I think that the strongest point here is that if it is that the pensioners component is not a huge part of the whole bond holding, then why can we not have a special dispensation for pensioners? So I am persuaded that there's a conversation that we should be having about a special dispensation for pensioners. And I'm comfortable in that. Carmore says, the irony of ironies, the outgone Democratic Labor Party administration ran this country up onto the rocks. An irony of ironies wish to continue. Thanks, Carl. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon, and
hello.
Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wiggum.
Yeah.
I was listening to the program very attentively,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to say to the members of the Democratic Labor Party that I think they need to go and sit down and examine what is going on in this country now. Look at what has happened within 100 days of the Barbados Labour Party. I wonder why it could not have happened under them. Now, they must also remember that they are on record saying that nobody could tell them how to run the country, and therefore they will do what they have to do. They did what they had to do. They run the country on the rocks. So therefore, I am saying that this election, the Democratic Labour Party should sit down, rethink, and study on a number of things. I would like them to ask them this question. If they are happy that they might have accomplished a mission to repay the people of Barbados for their back in 1976. And at the same time, and by the same token, the people have spoken again, but more draconian to them, which should tell them that they should examine themselves. Because if they want to return to the people of this country, what I think they should do is to recognize two things. One, they destroy Barbados, and they destroy the Democratic Labour Party. And coming to Barbadians now to bring up all of these things against what is going on now by the present administration, I think that they should step back, examine themselves, study how they are going to regroup, how they are going to apologize to the people of this country, who is going to make the apology, and what they are going to say. Physician, heal thyself. That is what I will say to them. All of them that come in, look at the last 100 days. Look at the transmission of Barbados over the last 100 days under the Barbados Labour Party. And I will say this. I believe that Barbadians should recognize and accept the fact now that when before the elections on May the 24th, I believe that all of us were guessing, wondering, and thinking what really wrong with Barbados, though we had an understanding of how it was governed. But it is only after May the 24th that the average Barbadian know the real state of this country. And I believe that all Barbadians now should recognize that it is our responsibility, not only the government that import. It is our responsibility to try and bring this country out of the rut that it is in, that was caused by the Democratic Labour Party, because they did what they wanted to do. They did their way, and they has put us where we are today. And I am angry when I hear the members of the Democratic Labour Party calling and talking the things that they want to talk. They should not have, in that last administration, speak about Errol Barra at all, because everything he stood for, they're destroyed.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for your contribution. My friends don't want me to identify them by name, but this one here is telling me that I have to be reasonable. If I have treasury bills or debentures, chalk is cheap. I don't have treasury bills or debentures, because I got that kind of access to income, like the same lady who just messaged me. But I have interest in Clico that I haven't seen realized because I understand that ultimately you make an investment, so it goes. And this is not about me here. I'm not making a personal statement because if I did, there's a lot of other stuff that I would have to talk about. My friend, the economist, tells me that this lady has to understand that there is no such thing as a safe investment. Moreover, when debt rises from 70% of GDP in 2008 and climbs to more than 100% of GDP, any economist worth his salt knows that the writing is already on the wall. The lady needs to know that there's no painless way out of this challenge. The only question is how you share the burden. And I think it's important for us to understand that there is no painless way out of this. It is how you share the burden. If we had gone the route of Argentina, and we said, let the economy collapse, let the dollar be worth virtually nothing, everybody who is talking about $150,000 that they have invested, which is worth $75,000 in government treasury bills. Let's say government said, let's just devalue the currency by half. So instead of 2-1, it's now 4-1. Let's just do that. So you get 50 cents on every dollar. How much better off would you be? Then all of us would be in a situation where we're all suffering. And that's another route that could have been taken. We could push a devaluation on the table, and the devaluation would have probably fixed a lot of the economic problems that we are having. But ultimately, all of those people who are complaining about the fact that their $150,000 treasury bills, they got to wait 10 years to realize it, may very well be talking about $150,000 treasury bill that's only worth $75,000 now. And that's the kind of conversation that I believe that we need to have. So I am comfortable in myself that the concerns that are being raised by the elderly community, I am now a member of BART as well, is not without merit. And I think that we need to have conversations about how can we deal with the peculiar challenge that those persons have where they need to realize some of their investments sooner rather than later. But the broad picture in terms of the haircut that we're all taking is something that we had to deal with. And I personally think that this way is better than to go the route that has been pursued by other countries across the world that have been in a similar situation. Because as my friend The Economist says, once you go past 100% of GDP, it is not sustainable. So the question is not if, the question is not when, the question is if. And the 100% of GDP, the path that was pursued between 2008 and 2013, Mia Motley wasn't anywhere near government at that point in time. So how can you blame her for precipitating a problem that she's now trying to fix when she only got into government for 100 days and has done more in that 100 days to fix a problem that has been pursued over the last 10 years aggressively? Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Remember, we continue until 30 minutes past the hour of 1, 434-1790, the number you can call. I'm having some trouble charging the WhatsApp, yes. So unfortunately I have no access to the WhatsApp messages for now. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just want to read a two scripture about the rainbow.
You read, darling, you read.
The Lord said he will set the bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass, when they bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember the covenant which I made between me and you, and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, and I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is upon the earth. And today, that happened about 6,000 years ago. And today, when you see a dark cloud, you always seen the rainbow. So that means that part of the Bible is true. And today, there's another one that I want to give you. I was waiting since you begin. And this one, it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. That's Revelation 22:18-19. And Peter, I hope
yes, ma'am.
You see the rainbow. You just see the rainbow? Huh?
They got one over me right now.
But that is what the Lord said. 6,000 plus years ago, he made that covenant. So please, please, believe something in the Bible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate your intervention and the very erudite manner in which you put forward the scripture readings. And certainly it should help me to believe things that I didn't believe before. Should, as I said. I have an email here from a gentleman who says, Peter, how come everyone is wishing me a happy belated birthday and not Chris? Both of them have the same birthday. Let's hear more belated birthday greetings from Carlos for Chris Sinclair. And I certainly would add my own word to that, that I believe people should wish both people happy birthday. I've never really paid attention to politics until this year. In the U.S., there are Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Which would be the BLP and the DLP? That's a question. Will we ever hear from the former ministers ever again? Or would next time we hear from them would be when they are about to die? Why aren't they going to do interviews? Why aren't reporters tracking them down and asking questions that many Barbadians still want to know? Where are they hiding? Are they hiding away in their mansions? Are they living luxurious lifestyles and traveling all the world with no care or concern for supporters? Have they abandoned the poor man and their supporters? Because Stocks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Vickens.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, we used to talk about 20 years ago.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, you're aging me, sir. I can't believe it was so long I was on the program.
Well, you do believe that you're 20 years older from the time.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and I had an office on top of Campbell Hill.
Okay.
So I used to talk to you up there and say hello and things like that.
Okay, all right.
Now, Peter,
mm-hmm.
Let me put it this way. I am 80 years in another year or two. So whatever you would call me, whether an old man, an old pensioner, a retired person, ambitious or intelligent, I am looking at the whole issue of our politics and our race.
Right.
The issue of race in Barbados is still a relative position to take in terms of how people perceive themselves. And I am saying to you that our legal system here...
You said race, right?
Race.
Race, okay.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Because
or Indian and Chinese.
Yes, I congratulate Mia because I happen to have known her ancestors from the top inside.
Mm-hmm.
Or the top inside. And I know that breed of family, the genes, and the quality of art. I wish her a happy birthday just as well. I have family who live in the United States, Canada, and Britain, and they monitor these stations all the time to the point of the second when the telephone is put down. And I have seen them, I've sent for most of them outside of this country. So for those who have come out, there are about 35 of them, and Peter, they have not done badly. My mother has invested well in them, and they are good scholars. They still like Barbados. I am a tomorrow's man. I believe the future of Barbados is resting in the present. Because only the living can do anything. The dead are dead. But when I came to Barbados about 25 years ago to set up programs, I recognized, Peter, that in as much as I have had ideas and classic and upfront ideas, there were more people advising me as to how to modify my program. People there had no training. They really didn't know what they were talking about, but they want to have a voice and opinion as to where I should go. I find people who would want to, if you have a project, they would hold it up. For one or more reasons, I do not know. But they're holding it up because I must tell you very clearly, Peter, that I never believed that people could be so... Now, this is an assumption because we have no clear facts. But I cannot believe that people are so assiduous and envious for no good reason than to stop you from moving ahead. That is still endemic in this little country of Barbados, which, if you look back at it for the last numbers of years, and I enjoyed my childhood there because I was raised virtually in a plantation village. It is Vauxhall and Sargent Village and those places. Beautiful fields, the plantation owners, the horses, my education. I love that. But having seen my grandmother and my foreparents left and go to the United States, Cambridge and New York, And having seen my wife's family who come in from another country and settle here, lease their own land that they have left back over 100 years, Peter. And people say, we manage those lands. But what I'm finding here that people are asking questions, how did you get that? Like, poverty is always on our doorstep. And then when you develop a plan, you develop a plan for the future because, you know, like, you're talking about how do you live. And, you know, medical care is expensive, Peter. I did biomedical engineering. I understand what an X-ray machine can cost. I understand what the geriatric section can cost. I understand what technical equipment can cost. And I understand what the price of keeping those things service costs. That's a real cost. But the thing about it is that we do not prepare, we do not maintain, and we always look at the other man and say, I want that kind of scotch. You know, people decide that they're going to do doors, Black Label. People pick choice, their drink for their choice. But Peter, most of them can't afford it. And that is the problem we have. When Fernand Stewart came into the party, I went to see him the day that he lost the election. I went to St. Philip and looked for him and said, are you Mr. Stewart? He said, yes. I said, well, listen, you've just lost an election. You will become the next Prime Minister of Barbados. He was cutting his lawn and he stood up. And he won the government. Now I've moderated him all the time through until he's kind of dismissed himself. But I would like to say to you, he did some good stuff, but he went plumb loco. I think the whole position of managing...
What was the stuff he did that was good when he was AG?
AG?
What was the good stuff he did?
Well, I suppose he was good at presenting himself as an orator.
He spoke well.
Right. Yes.
But there are no specific initiatives?
Not specific initiative, but I believe that standing on the podium and delivering himself as a...
He spoke well.
You know, everything that he says, you have to listen to. You are a scholar.
You used to listen. I didn't listen. I start listening after a while.
But after a while doesn't tell me how long after.
No, I used to listen to Prime Minister Stewart a lot more attentively initially,
yes.
But I stopped listening because my thing is that there comes a point when I have to ask myself, you know, is it a constructive use of my time?
Well, you know, but if you cannot lose out when you've paid rap attention as one man.
If we talk about oratory, and I mean, yes. I can have a quick conversation with you on this, because if we talk about oratory... I remember one day listening to Barack Obama speak at the United Nations. And I remember listening to Cameron spoke around the same time, I believe it was. I think to myself, when I listen to these people speaking, there's a certain level of inspiration. I believe at the time, the leader of the opposition in the UK also spoke. And I took a certain level of inspiration from the speech.
Right.
I then listened to a speech that Prime Minister Fernand Stewart made where he was talking about, I think at the time, he was talking about the definition of temporary. And I contrasted the two, and I thought to myself that what I'm really lacking is inspiration.
Yes.
And I have to admit, sir, that one of my challenges is that Fernand Stewart was articulate, and he articulated himself well, but what he said did not really inspire me. Because a lot of time he said things which I found were irritating, like sucking on the nipples of the state.
I heard
like
that
the definition of temporary. You know, the fact that we didn't have unemployment, the last time we had full employment was during slavery. Things which are not funny, things which are irritating in a situation where there are concrete issues that need to be spoken to.
Yes, but when you said about the second or the nipples of the mother,
did the nipples sore?
I said that. I heard that too.
Right.
And I say it sounds like the lawyers suck on the nipples of the large corporations and they don't care about the other people.
So I'm just saying that with regard to Stewart, I would be interested to hear. I mean, when we start to discuss his legacy, what exactly was it that he did for 7 years and 7 months as Prime Minister that leaves this lasting legacy? And you can help me by starting to identify one initiative, other than the fact that he spoke well because he was articulate. But I wouldn't say he spoke well.
I also try to calculate the cost benefit of building schools. Because I look at our children here.
He built schools?
Well, he had schools built in.
Where did he build schools?
Well, didn't I see Maria Holder schools and other institutions that were
Maria Holder Trust built those schools?
Yes, I know, but it was somebody had to decide how it was going to be built.
So he did that?
He was an importer in there.
I
didn't get to know who she was. I thought she was a Belgian, but she was a woman of wealth.
But don't you think that while we talk about, and I realize we're going to have to run, but while we talk about things that he has done,
Yeah.
Don't you think that that should be set against the things that he needed to have done? Because I would have thought that over the last 5 years, if not the last 10, a key thing he should have done is to deal with our problem of debt.
But the thing about it is that none of the governments
that wasn't touched.
They were never prepared to expose their books. And if you have fraud, and this Barbados is so full of fraud, Peter, that even the police department and the Department of Public Prosecution seem to put down a lot of paperwork that you should pick up. Right. More people should be in prison, Peter.
Sir, can I get one last caller in, though?
Yes, you certainly can.
Okay. Have a good day. Thanks a lot for calling, sir. Let's see if we can get the last call in. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air, 24 minutes past the hour of 1. We have another one there, Dennis. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to say that...
Well, this is ma'am. Sorry. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes, I wanted to say that there's some misinformation being put out about the debt deferral.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, if you had a set of bonds that would mature in 10 years, it is now maturing in 15 years. Isn't that 15 years are being added on? 5 years are being added on. 5 years. Not.
Yeah, so you're being asked to roll it over.
Right. So 10 becomes 15. Not that if you were supposed to, your bonds were supposed to mature this year, that you're going to wait an additional 15 years.
Mm.
And all of, and then as far as the pensioners are concerned, just a minute. As far as the pensioners are concerned, hello?
I'm hearing you, ma'am.
Yes, I'm having a little phone trouble. As far as the pensioners are concerned, there's a provision for them to receive some small percent of theirs from the following year, and then an additional percent the second year, the third year, the fourth year, and the fifth year. And all of that was explained in a presentation on called Debt Referral by the Governor of the Central Bank, and it is on YouTube, and it was a presentation to the press.
Okay.
And it has a part one where they spoke, Mr. Haynes spoke, and then Ian Carrington and Prasad and all those. And then there was a question where the press asked questions, a second part. But isn't that a 10-year that 10-year bond now becomes 25 years because you add on 15 years. 10 will become 15. Everything was deferred an additional 5 years, and in the case of pensioners, they are eligible to draw down after 1 year, but it's a very small amount, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all that is explained. You can
the lady that called earlier, her concern was, look, this is money that I work for. I put it there, and it should be there when I need it. How do you respond to her? And you have the last word.
It's unfortunate that the situation arose that they would have to wait. I sympathize with that. I mean, same situation with Clico.
Mm-hmm.
But, the fact is that what choices do we have? The country, you want economic collapse.
There you go.
We won't be walking about with empty pots beating like Argentina.
And ma'am, for me, that says it all, you know. Ultimately, it ain't easy. It's not an easy road, but, you know, the burden, it has to be shared. And it is what it is. You didn't create the problem, but you got to fix it.
You got to fix it.
Ma'am, thanks a lot for coming in on the program and bringing it to a close on that positive note. Because, you know, regardless of what we say, we have to deal with the problem. And I think that I certainly would want to commend the government for making an effort, making step one. I think that there's some, you know, little tinkering that can be done. And I tried to the best as possible to identify options I thought that we could consider. And outside of that, I think generally speaking, we're on the right track. So special thanks to all of the people who made the program what it was. Thanks for all your calls and for engaging me so well over the last hour and a half. Last 3 hours, I'm sorry. Dennis Johnson, special thanks to you. Mr. Larry Mears will be in shortly. My name is Peter Wickham. I look forward to being with you next Tuesday on Dr. Brass Talks.